eating Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week we're going to be talking about Identity Thief, we're going to be talking about Side Effects, we're going to talk about a little bit of movie news as well, and some DVD and Blu-ray reviews that you can check out this week, and I guess beyond. I mean, you don't have to get them this week.
You can get them next week if you really want.
If you really, really want to. That's
or
true.
Even in June. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll let happens. You.
That happens.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, let's hit the box office. We like to always say, well, what this is what happened last week at the box office and how accurate we were. Again, we've proved we don't know anything about box office.
We're getting better.
We picked the number one movie. It was Warm Bodies. Which I said, well, you said 15 million, and I just then snaked yours, and I said
yes.
16 million.
Mm-hmm.
It actually made 20 million, so by no matter what rules, Price is Right or not, I won that one.
Yes. But point I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Because you've won before.
Well, and no, and I'm happy that the movie won and got that much money. You know, it could have been worse. It could have, you know.
Could have got nothing?
Well,
Hansel and Gretel could have come.
It could have gotten to Hansel and Gretel, yeah.
It made almost exactly what Hansel and Gretel made last week. The week before, rather. Mm-hmm. And that dropped to 9.4 million. And then Silver Linings Playbook came in with 7.7. Is that 80 million? Which is pretty impressive.
Cool figure.
For a small
movie.
And
that movie's been out since
November.
Yeah.
We saw
like
it
that.
In November.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once it got the Oscar buzz, that helps. And I think it's not just that it's got some Oscar buzz, it's got it in multiple categories.
Yeah.
It's one of the most nominated films. It's not going to win. Except Jennifer Lawrence has a chance.
Yeah, I would say so.
But everyone else isn't going to win their – it's not going to win Best Picture. Seriously, it's not. It's
you
not
don't think
going
so?
To.
No, it's not.
No, no. It's going to be Lincoln or maybe Argo. A lot of people are saying Argo now. I still think it's Lincoln.
I think it's Lincoln.
I think it's Lincoln. And the reason I think it's Lincoln is because all the Academy – you know how people say, well, it's neat to see Argo because I remember when that happened in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So your average moviegoer, like your 40, 50-year-old moviegoer is going to be like, I remember that. The people in the Academy, they remember when Lincoln was shot.
I know.
They're old.
So it's perfect for them.
Yeah. Then we have Mama, which is down to 6.6 million with a total of 58. Zero Dark Thirty is at 5.2. And then Bullet to the Head made 4.5 million, which, by the way, is the worst to open of the three movie spread of The Last Stand, Parker, and Bullet to the Head being the three Expendables.
Wow.
They're not spinoffs, but they're Expendables
right.
actors. And then you go down the line with the other ones, and it ends with Lincoln and Les Mis, you know, Horse Race at 9 and 10 for 2.4 million. Both of those are doing very well.
Yeah.
Les Mis is 142 million total, and Lincoln's 170 million.
That's impressive.
There's a lot of talking.
Yeah. That's not the kind of movie that you expect to make 170 million.
No.
You know?
No. And it's still in the top 10, and it came out,
again,
I think, in 2009.
November 2009. It's still going.
Yeah, it's still chugging along. Django Unchained is at 151 million, so that's doing mm-hmm. well. But we'll see if Die Hard can break this pattern next week because it's an expendable.
Do you think it'll make more than 4.5 million?
I hope it's going to make more than 4.5. If it doesn't make more than 4.5 million, the idea of Bruce Willis saying he's going to do Die Hard 6 in space or whatever
nice.
is not going to happen. Anyways, that's it. We both won this week, predicting Warm Bodies.
Yay.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. If you want to get a hold of us, you can reach us by email at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. We will probably read that on the air as long as you're not boring.
It would be nice to see if that phone number actually works.
I should try calling
it. So somebody should try calling it. Anybody?
Just
try calling it. Prank phone calls. We'll even take that.
We haven't even gotten the creditor calling us for somebody else's. I once on this phone line, we got somebody calling for like medical reasons, like your appointment with so-and-so. And I'm like, somebody's going to like miss an MRI and like die because we just deleted this voice. Because it wasn't for us because Fat Guys at the Movies doesn't need an MRI.
We don't go to the doctor.
I might need an MRI. Are you kidding? We don't have health insurance. Your husband's Canadian. You can take you up there and you can get their health insurance.
There you go.
Right?
I can get prescription medicine.
There you are.
Yes.
For like $5 a bottle. It's crazy insane. Anyways, if you want to find us on the web, you can go to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can go to Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM, or you can reach me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I am KDK Reviews, or you can find me at realdiscovery.org and nightsandweekends.com.
That's right. Again, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Let's kick this off with some news. Since we only have two movies to talk about, we'll do those in a little bit later. But I don't know if you've heard, we talked a little bit about this before, but let's just kind of recap. There's been so many Star Wars stories and news.
There is so much going on.
Did I get your take on J.J. Abrams directing?
You know, we didn't get a chance to talk about that last week. We had such a crazy show that was so crammed with stuff that we didn't really get to talk about it.
Well, what do you think about J.J. Abrams for Star Wars?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at J.J. Abrams, just
you have to look down from
everything. Apart from everything else, I mean, he's a natural choice.
Okay.
But when it comes to, you know, he's got Star Wars, he's got Star Trek, it feels like hiring the same guy to be the campaign manager for the Republicans and the Democrats.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know?
Well, I would like to see J.J. Abrams moderate the Star Wars versus Star Trek panel at the next Comic-Con.
That would be very interesting.
Like, I'm so conflicted! Lens flare! Distraction!
Yeah, seriously, what are they trying to do here? I don't know if they're trying to patch up something, you know, like the Hatfields and McCoys.
Yeah.
You know, we can all agree on J.J. Abrams. Let's bond over this.
Well, and if he does Star Trek 7, or Star Wars Episode 7, he's not going to do Star Trek 3. He'll produce it and such. So
is he picking sides then?
I don't know. I'll be curious to see what happens. I'm okay with him. I think he proved with Super 8 that he can play in that sort of 70s mindset. And Star Wars has always had that. Even the new movies, even the prequels, I still felt had that Lucas 70s feel to them.
Yep.
And I think he can play in that because you don't want somebody like Michael Bay or David Fincher or somebody who's a very stylized director who may be a good director. Not Michael Bay, of course. I'm talking about David Fincher. But you have somebody who's a good director. And I don't want to see – I love – one of my favorite directors of all time is Danny Boyle. Mm-hmm. I do not want to see a Star Wars movie by Danny Boyle.
No.
It would
be
interesting.
And I like what Abrams did with the Star Trek movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he took it and turned it into a completely different kind of sci-fi movie.
True.
You know, normally they're all whiz-bang and all flash. Yeah. And he took it and brought it down and made it about the characters. And I appreciate that because for me, characters are important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like knowing the background and I like knowing what's going on inside their heads and why they do what they do. And a lot of sci-fi movies don't do that. So for me, that made me connect to Star Trek even more. It turned me into a Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
Because of that movie.
That's true. I hear you're trying to snake into our Star Trek-a-thon we're going to be having over spring break.
You think I could get an invite to that?
We'll see. We'll see what happens. We did a super-thon.
I'm working on it. I know you did, and I wasn't there, but I saw the pictures.
We watched
and it made me sad because I wasn't invited.
We watched all the Superman movies. It was awesome.
Saw you in your Superman jammies.
Yeah, we had Superman shirts and Superman socks, and I had Superman pants. The boys had the Star Wars pants because I was too cheap to buy them pants. But we had comic books and trading cards.
Yeah,
and
you go all out.
Oh, yeah, we went crazy. And I made Superman cocktails.
Yes, I saw those too.
Have you ever had one of those?
No, but I want one.
Oh, my God.
Are they good?
Yeah, because what it is you use overproof rum and a little bit of sour mix and blue. And I don't, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. It's blue
curacao.
Is that how it is? Curacao? And that gives it a real blue color. You're supposed to use Bacardi 151, but that has a little bit of an orange or yellow brown tint to it. Mm-hmm. So it makes it a little green. So I just got like this overproof rum.
Yeah.
That's like, it's like 60-some% proof. or no, 60-some%.
Yeah.
And it's like 120-some%
proof. Nice.
And that's clear. So it's a white rum. And then you put the sour mix in. And you put the blue curacao. Is that how you say that right?
I think so.
And then you sink grenadine at the bottom. So you get this layer of red and a layer of blue. It looks super cool. And it will get you drunk so fast.
You didn't even have to get to Superman 3 before then?
Supergirl. We watched Supergirl. And I had a couple of those. And I'm like, it made no sense. And I was talking to a publicist this week. And she's like, oh, it's not worth revisiting. I'm like, I was a little drunk when I saw it, so I can't.
It is worth revisiting if you've had three of these cocktails first.
I made no sense. I couldn't tell you what happens. There's a shower that blows up at one point, and Helen Slater looks just adorable in her Supergirl outfit, and Faye Dunaway's in it.
Well,
as is Peter O'Toole.
Oh,
of
okay.
All people. So that's what's happening in Fat Guy's world. But yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the standalone Star Wars films too, because that's another bit of news. So we'll talk about that on the other side of the break, and which we have to take now. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about identity theft and side effects and a little more Star Wars news.
welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Sorry.
We were just talking about Star Wars.
Yes, because we haven't heard anything about
that's what everybody's talking about right now.
It's like Star Wars and Ron Jeremy and the post office not delivering on Saturdays.
It's true. And Canada getting rid of their pennies.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
It's because they're like, well, we've now overtaken the American currency, so the heck with these pennies.
Exactly. So there you go.
But they don't they have coins for everything? Don't they have like the $100 gold piece or something like that?
They might, but they do have $1 and $2.
I know.
The loonies and the toonies.
Is that what they call them?
That's what they're called.
Those crazy Canadians.
Yes.
Those Canucks. What's up, eh? I used to be able to do a Canadian accent when I was driving through Canada. I can't do one now.
I used to spend an awful lot of time there, so I could turn it off and on when
really?
I needed to. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you do the show as a Canadian?
I'm not going to.
You're not going to?
No.
Not when you're put on the spot like
this. I could do it in Boston, too, because I lived there for a few years. So,
wow.
You know, the accents, you just kind of have to pick them up along the way.
Do you do a real Boston accent, or do you just go, I'm back, back on, have it, yad?
No, I could do the real accent.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because I had to. But, you know, people in Boston.
Because you had to. They didn't trust you if you didn't have a Boston accent.
No.
Ben Affleck would walk around, and he'd vet his source, and he'd be like, you can't come in here.
If you're from somewhere else, they do not trust you.
You don't talk like you're from Boston.
Yeah.
Anyways, the other thing we're going to talk about with Star Wars is there was an announcement. This is the problem with Star Wars rumors, because there was an announcement, and then this was verified, and it was not verified, and they're like, whoa, no, we're just in planning stages, we don't know. They're saying they're going to make standalone films.
Right.
And if you don't know what that is, that means it's just a little side shoot. It's basically a spinoff of one character.
Right.
That is not this overall story arc. In essence, what they're doing is they're applying the Marvel model. Here,
mm-hmm.
Where they have, you know, four or five movies that are related to them.
And then they all come together in one big Avengers movie.
Which is brilliant. You know, I think somebody at DC should figure that one out at some point. Because they own everything
it's
in
true.
their library, so this should be easy for them.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I guess time will tell what will happen with it. I think it's a little overkill.
Yeah, because isn't the next Star Wars movie supposed to be 2015?
Yes.
And Marvel worked, because if you look at like the, if you're applying the Marvel model,
mm-hmm.
in the fact that they started in 2008 with Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk, and
right.
then 2009 was, no, then they had, then mm-hmm. in 2011, 2010 they had Iron Man 2, 2011 they had Thor and Captain America.
Right.
Thor and Captain America in the same summer seemed almost starting to get to overkill.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be afraid they're going to burn out Star Wars, because part of what I loved about Star Wars as a kid, because I grew up with it,
mm-hmm.
is that anticipation for 3 years of waiting for the next movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And just that it is just one movie here and there.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got, even when they started doing like the animated series and, you mm-hmm. know, the animated movie and all that stuff, I was like, but you're kind of ruining the Star Wars mystique by throwing all this stuff in. So that's my concern.
If you're a real geek, you remember back in, it was sometime in the 90s, Timothy Zahn wrote these three books.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big deal because they hadn't done, they'd done a little bit of spin-off fiction with like a couple Han Solo books. And they did like Splinter in the Mind's Eye by Alan Dean Foster. But they decided to bring in Lucasfilm, licensed Timothy Zahn to write these three books that continued the stories of all the characters
mm-hmm.
following Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And they were great books because Zahn's a great writer. And then they had Kevin Anderson write a couple, and then they expanded it so it'd be like the Star Trek model where there was a new book a week.
Right.
And once you got to that, it really diluted it. It still was fun for Star Wars fans, mm-hmm. but not everything was going to be the Zahn books. You had a lot lesser fiction in there.
Right.
And it gets a little convoluted and stuff. So.
Well, to me, it's kind of like Disney movies.
Okay.
Disney animated movies. It used to be a big deal when a new Disney animated movie came out.
Yeah.
You know, because they didn't happen every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they do. You get one every year and you get one Pixar movie every year.
Sometimes two.
And, you know, it's exciting and it's fun, but it's just, it doesn't have the same excitement as it did before. And
yeah.
I mean, I remember when they did the prequels for Star Wars.
Oh, my God.
And I was there. And I wasn't even a big Star Wars fan. My friends dragged me along, and everybody was dressed up, and they were all sleeping outside for days, and it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if you have three Star Wars movies a year, it's not going to be a big deal anymore. And it won't be the same anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a danger of that. We'll see how mm-hmm. they do. And then, plus, there's a greater chance of them sucking.
Exactly.
So. Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. What do we got coming up here next? We got to do a movie, I think.
We do.
Yes.
We have a movie. It's called Side Effects.
Yes.
Channing Tatum and Rooney Mara star in a crime thriller about a couple whose lives are changed forever by a new anti-anxiety drug.
How have things been going with you?
I can finally sleep. I have some energy. We had sex.
Whoever makes this drug is going to be rich.
911, what's your emergency?
I need help. Someone's been murdered.
There's been an incident.
What do we do?
No sign of forced entry. No sign of struggle.
Where's her lawyer?
She doesn't have one. Just kept talking about you.
I don't understand why this is happening.
Do you take anti-anxiety drugs? Am I outing you here? I'm not. I'm waiting for you to say yes. And then,
I don't, but I probably should. It might help.
Okay.
So this movie we did not see.
No, they didn't screen it for us. They screened it in Cleveland, and I got, like, the email about it, like, the night before.
Nice.
And it screened on, like, a Friday morning.
By the way.
Which I couldn't.
If you would like to drive out right now.
Yeah.
Come on out.
So.
But this is another movie with Steven Soderbergh and
yes.
Channing Tatum.
His last one.
His last one. In case that makes you want to go out and see it,
yeah.
Because his next one will be his last one, too, just so you know.
Yeah, and he'll be upset at that, too.
Yeah.
And it's his third one with Channing Tatum
in a year. Yeah, because we had Haywire
mm-hmm.
and Magic Mike last year, and now this one. So those two are cranking them out.
Yeah.
Which is probably why Channing Tatum is going to take a little vacation now, too.
You shrugged at me. I'm like, I have nothing else to say about this movie. I don't know. This to me looks like it's going to be like Contagion.
Okay.
If you look at the trailers, it feels like Contagion. It's Soderbergh, so he doesn't do the whiz-bang action movies.
No.
Even if you watch, like, Haywire, which was, in essence, an action movie,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't a whiz-bang action movie.
It wasn't whiz-bang?
No.
I like whiz-bang.
And, this is going to look like it's going to be a bit of a slow burn. I'm curious to see how even it is, because that was one of the problems with Contagion, is it had some really chilling things.
Mm-hmm.
But part
right.
of what worked with Contagion is... And they should have released Contagion in, like, January, when everybody in the theater would cough.
Yeah.
Because they released it in September, and I remember sitting there, and somebody coughed in the theater, and you're just like, oh, my God, super flu's going to kill me.
It's true.
The bat pig virus is coming after me. Unless somebody's popping anxiety pills next to you, you're probably not worried that they're going to attack you and kill you.
Probably not.
But I'm interested in seeing this. I think it's going to feel along the same lines. It's probably not going to be awesome, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it's going to be like?
The same old. Yeah.
It seems so just...
Here we go.
There's no dancing in it. Channing Tatum.
Once you get Channing Tatum dancing, then I'm in. But hey.
It might be Jude Law dancing.
Nah, it's still not good enough.
Rooney Mara looks like she's going to be, like, at least partially naked in this movie. That's my
Well, that's good
my
for you.
Race.
It is. And if somebody gets hit by a bus, then you're in.
Yes.
I know how you work.
That's how it works for me.
Nudity and people getting hit by buses.
Yeah, I had a radio show host. I did a call, and he was talking about the movie Flight, and we'll talk about it later. And he's like, well, the first part was pornography. And I said to him, I go, look, Bill... You need to watch some more pornography before you make that statement. And then later in the conversation, he moderated down to softcore pornography.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, it had nakedness. But that's the best part of the movie.
It's true. I'll even say that.
Side Effects gets a preemptive suck from both of us because they didn't screen it to us. Take that,
yeah.
Steven Soderbergh. We got to go to a break. When we come back, Identity Thief and Box Office. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Hello.
We were talking about Side Effects, which we didn't see and gave it a preemptive suck, but now we're going to be talking about a movie that we did see.
Yeah.
Oh. Well. And we're going to rate that accordingly. And that is Identity Thief. Jason Bateman stars as a mild-mannered businessman who travels to Florida to bring to justice the woman who stole his identity.
He says we got to cut the card. You don't pay your bills.
I pay my bills. Swipe it one more time. Nothing wrong with that card.
exceeded the credit limit. I used the card for coffee and gas. Florida, right beyond water sports, never heard of it. I'm in Colorado. We don't have beaches.
Patterson, you missed your court date in Florida 3 days ago.
I'd never even been to Florida.
Pull a mugshot. If I had to guess, this is the person who stole your identity.
Look at her. She's like a hobbit. I can handle her. Going after Bilbo.
My biggest problem with this film.
That's never a good way to start out.
No, it's not.
Here's what sucks about this movie.
Here's my biggest problem. Is the premise is really thin.
Well, yeah, that is the foundation for this movie. And the foundation is really weak.
And if this had come out 10 years ago, it would have made more sense.
Okay.
Because identity theft... I know a little bit about identity theft. I know people in credit. I know people in money.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had somebody steal my credit card once.
Oh, yeah.
Or steal the number and charge like $10,000 in stereo equipment.
Nice. We never got up to $10,000, but yeah, we've had some pretty good hits at Best Buy.
Yeah, and so I've watched this happen. And back 10 years ago, identity theft wasn't taken as seriously as it is now.
Right.
And back 10 years ago and earlier... You really had to work to convince a bank that your identity was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
They just said, because they even said that to me when they some. They're like, "Well, it was used." I'm like, "I'm looking at the card now, and it was like in Florida." You know, I'm like, "I haven't been to Florida in the last year or two. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there." And they're like, "Well, you forced the charge. It didn't run the." And I'm like, "You really? Do you think that's odd that maybe somebody stole a card and then forced the charge?" You know, so, and then I got an email after I made a big stink and I sent them all this stuff. I got this one. They're like. We were wrong. We're just going to take this off, you know.
Uh-huh.
But nowadays, everybody knows about identity.
Oh, yeah.
How can it? The movie literally starts with this guy. Somebody calls. He gets a random call like, "Oh, to protect your identity, we have to get your name, your social security number, your mother's maiden name." And he just gives it to her. Worse yet, he works as a finance guy.
Exactly.
And that's where – and I know I'm overthinking this.
Okay. And he's supposed to be smart.
Yeah.
And really good at what he does.
Yeah. And the problem with that is – and I know I'm overthinking a stupid comedy. That just – from that point on, it didn't sit with me. And then there are like stuff like, "Oh, well, you got arrested." I'm like, how fast did she do this? Because she like gets a car at one point and ruins his credit. But I was like, you can't ruin the credit in like a week or two.
Well, yeah.
It takes months to ruin your credit. And then he like starts a new job. I have no idea what the timetable of this movie was.
Yeah, this movie is just – it's one thing after another. I mean, it starts out with a really weak premise and it's just one crazy thing after another. And the more you think about it, the more you're like, that would never, ever happen.
Yeah.
And
then, like, the whole thing, the police are like, well, like they arrest him.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, you were in Florida." I'm like – when you get your rap sheet, doesn't it always have a picture next to it? Doesn't it always have a thing that says male, female?
You would think.
That they mark on it? And like there's a bit, I'm not gonna spoil anything at the end, but there's a bit at the end where somebody runs her fingerprints. And I was sitting next to Nicholas Harum from Movies Hate You Too, and he said, wouldn't they have run her fingerprints when she went to jail or when she was arrested?
You would think the first time.
Yeah, I mean, it's stuff like that.
And it's Florida. You know, you don't know how loosey-goosey they run things in Florida. You
very
don't know.
Loosey-goosey, apparently. And that's the problem. Whenever you have to stretch reality, and if you don't know anything about identity theft, you'll probably be okay with this, but... if you have any sort of – even a modicum of knowledge of what happens with banks – because I had the issue. Do you remember this? I don't know if I told you this.
Mm-hmm.
Where my wife swiped her card at a Chipotle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it ended up they moved the decimal point. So instead of it being $11.50, it was $11,500.
Right.
And it just wiped out her bank account. And I got and it got taken care of because everyone was like, okay, we know something's wrong here. It took them a while
to
figure
out. You'd have to eat an awful lot of burritos.
Yeah. Well, even like they talked to the guy at the store and he's like, we don't even do that business in a day.
No.
So when this weird stuff happens on your – and the other thing is there she's like getting a car loan and they never call. I drove to Florida once.
Oh, okay.
And I used my credit – you know, you swipe your credit card at the pump.
Right.
And it was for a wedding and I go into the tuck shop down in near Orlando and they go to swipe my card and it wouldn't work. And I call them and I go, I bet you I know what it is. I call them and they're like, yeah, we noticed that somebody was just like going, driving. They were able to map that somebody was going down to a different state. And they said, we put a hold on it.
We've had that all the time that, you know, they'll call because sometimes my husband will be in a different place than I am. If he was traveling for business and he'd be in Europe using the card and I'd be here, they'd they'd give us a call.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's such a thin premise, and it just is there just for the comedy, but it's not worth – the comedy's not worth the hoops you have to jump through to buy the premise.
And the whole thing is just so random. It just – it changes tone and focus so often. I was writing about this, and I was saying how – to me, it reminds me of those stories that we used to write in the back of class when it was really boring. We'd write a paragraph and pass it on.
Yeah.
And you never knew where the next person would take this story. And it would make absolutely no sense whatsoever. And it was completely ridiculous and stupid.
Yeah.
And that is this movie.
Yeah. The thing is, Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy are both very funny. They don't have much chemistry in this.
No.
And it just doesn't work. I didn't find it very funny.
I enjoyed the parts in the beginning when they were separate.
There's parts where he has a couple zingers in.
Yeah. And he is good. He is a charming actor.
Yes.
And, you know, he's one of those actors that you see Jason Bateman's in a movie and you're like, okay, Jason Bateman.
He's in a lot of crap.
How bad is it? Yeah. Well, he's in but, a lot you know, crap. At least Jason Bateman can make it somewhat enjoyable. But, yeah, this one, not so much.
All right. Well, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. What is your final grade on Identity Thief?
I'm going to say it sucks.
I'm going to say it kind of sucks because I think there's a certain level of comedy there that can be found if you don't know anything about what really happens.
If you really don't care about if it makes any sense.
Yes. One thing I do want to talk about, though, with this is, I don't know, I showed the show.
Yeah.
I could be like, well, have you read Rex Reed?
I don't
Reed's
know if
review?
You read it. You just handed it to me.
I watched you read it.
Yeah.
Rex Reed came out with a review of Identity Theft, and he's getting a lot of crap for it. And the reason being is, he doesn't quite as much critique the movie as he does critique Melissa McCarthy and her size. He calls her a cacophonous, tractor-sized Melissa McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
He calls her a screeching, humongous creep. He calls her a female hippo, and later says she's devoted her short career to being obese and obnoxious with equal success.
Which, that has nothing to do with the movie. Really.
It has
nothing
to do. I mean,
it's just, it's a personal attack.
What's funny about it is there's less fat jokes in the movie than there are in this review.
It's true.
They go after her being obnoxious and weird
looking.
They do,
yeah. They go after her looks a lot, you know, because she has crazy hair.
She's got crazy
and she wears
bad makeup.
Crazy blue eyeshadow. And,
yeah.
And yes, there is an awful lot of snickering about what she looks like.
But there's very direct, there's not very many direct, look at her, she's fat.
No. No. Yeah.
So I found that interesting. The other thing with Rex Reed is, you know, he always comes from the heyday of print critics, you know, in the 70s and 80s. When I saw Superman, he has a cameo in Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a guy who was, like, top of the game, and he is one of these people who is now bitter because there's guys online who are writing stuff and getting more attention than he does.
I've heard of those people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But if you read his review, it's a terrible review. It's not well written. It's him trying to be snarky.
It's
like
not really a review, but it is kind of funny.
And he also, last year he reviewed Cabin in the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And he famously reviewed it because he gave away everything up to the very end. Which is a big no-no.
Yeah.
And he also told the plot completely wrong.
No.
He got massive holes in the plot. And if you read his summary of the movie, it's
that thing is all summary.
Not terribly accurate either.
It's true.
Because he talks about the one point, she abandons him on the side of the road with hobo pants. And I'm like, well, those scenes happen like 40 minutes apart in the film.
Right. The hobo pants come way toward the end.
I think he falls asleep and then just guesses. Or he doesn't pay attention, or he's playing on his phone.
I kind of wish I had fallen asleep.
I want to punch Rex Reed. Not because, I mean, I don't like Identity Theft, but what do you think is going to win this weekend? Really quick, we got about 30 seconds.
I'm going to give it to Identity Theft.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or Identity Thief, actually. I keep mixing
it
up. I think so,
that.
Too.
You're messing me up.
I'm going to say 20 million. I'll throw it out this time.
I'm going to give it 18.
Ooh!
Mm-hmm. But you never know.
We'll know next week.
I guess we will.
It's not
we'll
never.
We'll find out.
It'll happen. Anyways, that is it for this segment. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about DVDs and maybe a little more news.
Shake that.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
We should get Melissa McCarthy on the show.
You think?
Yeah, and then I could get Rex Reed. And he could be like, well, you're on Fat Guys at the Movies, but you're not a guy.
With boxing gloves?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd love to see her just wail on him. She would make him cry. Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
She's tough. She is.
I like Melissa McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
I like her
in small doses.
I don't like her in necessarily what she does, but I think she's a good comedian. I used to watch Samantha Who.
Yes.
She was very good in that.
I did really like her in Samantha Who.
Yeah. But they've kind of been the whole, let's make her more obnoxious.
Exactly.
She's the female Kevin James at this point.
Right. Which is not a good thing.
No.
Speaking of which.
Being the male Kevin James isn't a thing either.
It is time to talk about something that we like to talk about every week.
Yeah.
It is time for the DVD Roundup.
That's right. Let's start it off with the big pick of the week. I'm going to say it's Peter Pan.
I'm 100% in agreement with you.
Yes, Peter Pan.
Because really, this week is a little rough.
Well, you know, but also Disney does their Blu-rays up really nice.
They do.
They look great.
And they have great features.
And they have like 86 discs that come with one purchase that has, it's like a DVD you can give your kids and digital copy. And, you know, you got one that you can like use as a coaster. It's just an nice, extra Blu-ray. Yeah. It's the same thing. You just leave it as the only way you can use it.
And I love that this one has the intermission. This is something that Disney's been doing lately.
Yes.
If you hit pause while you're watching the movie, it does a little intermission.
They do that. The only problem with that, and I love the Disney intermissions because they're adorable, and I remember that on the Muppets Christmas Carol.
Yep.
There's no way to disable that. So if you really, honest to God, want to pause it,
that's true.
It doesn't pause. I wish you could pause within the intermission.
It's true. If you really want it to be paused and quiet,
yeah,
that doesn't happen.
You have to mute it.
You have to hit mute.
But it is annoying, and but it is adorable. It's great for Disney movies.
This one has all kinds of fun pirate games, and it's cute.
Arrgh. So, yes, Peter Pan on Blu-ray for the first time in high def. Mm-hmm. Well, of course it's in high def. It's on Blu-ray.
Yes.
There's also Cougar Town Season 3.
Yay.
Do you like Cougar Town?
I do.
I liked Cougar Town before it was cool to like Cougar
Town. I know, and you say that all the time.
I'm proud of that. I'm like Peter Dinklage. I like Peter Dinklage before it was cool to like Peter Dinklage. If only Peter Dinklage had a part on Cougar Town before it was cool.
Then it would have been awesome.
It would have been totally awesome
because
I would have been like, I claim winning for everything. Do you drink when you watch Cougar Town?
I don't, but I really should.
You should.
My wine glasses aren't big enough. Now, I've seen your wine glasses, and they also are not big enough.
What did I call it? Tiny Gary or something like that?
It was Tiny something, Phillip. Yes.
I don't have a big Carl or a big Lou.
I know, and we really need to get those.
Yes.
And we should use them while we're doing the show every week, too.
Yeah. Well, and it's now, this was, I think, its last episode, its last season. Season 3 was the last one on ABC.
Right.
Now it's on TBS, and we have it on our DVR, and my wife and I are going to watch a half-hour show last night.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, what should we watch? I go, because she had to get up and work. Well, what should we watch? She's like, well, let's not watch Cougar Town because we have to drink wine when we watch Cougar Town. I'm like, well, that makes sense. Smart woman.
So what?
My God, I just dropped my clip.
Wow. So what did you watch instead?
We watched New Girl.
You don't have to drink. Well, it would be okay
fun.
If you drank while
you don't need to. If you drink New Girl, if you drink during New Girl, you have to like play their drinking game, which gets you completely blasted. And I would have had to have my Superman cocktail during it.
There you go.
Speaking of getting blasted, there's Here Come the Boom. Here Comes the Boom?
Yeah, there you go.
You didn't like Here Comes the Boom.
No.
That was okay.
It's depressing.
Is it as depressing as Identity Thief?
Yeah.
You could do a double feature of, you can go see Identity Thief in the theater and then come home and watch Here Comes the Boom.
I don't think we could do that to our listeners.
In my family, do you know what Boom stands for?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Mm-hmm, I do.
If you take the first and the last letter of boom, that's what it stands for.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I'm aware of that.
It's
appropriate.
It's a very funny title at our household. Anyways, then there's also A Late Quartet. Did you get a chance to see this?
I didn't.
Yeah.
No, but I know that Christopher Walken is in it, which kind of makes me want to see it.
He's not crazy.
I'll see anything that Christopher Walken is in, honestly.
Have you seen the Fatboy Slim? The music video.
Oh yes,
I saw that on the
awesome.
Big screen.
Oh, nice.
It is an awesome big screen.
Christopher Walken. He's a dancer, man.
That's right.
He can bust a move.
I need to work on my Walken impression. I need to get a better Walken impression. It's okay. I mean, it's about this quartet and the one of the.
Are they late?
They're late. Yeah. Well, they're older, and it's the late quartet. They're playing Beethoven's Late Quartet, which is like 7 movements instead of 4. And Christopher Walken's the cellist, and he is showing early signs of Parkinson's,
right.
So he's going to have to bow out, or bow out, I guess you could say.
Huh.
I mean, it's a cerebral movie. It's a beautiful looking movie, well shot, but it's more for the intellectual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looked like that.
It's not for somebody who wants to watch a movie called Here Comes the Boom.
It's true. It is not.
And then there's Flight.
And then we have another winner this
Flight.
Week. Flight.
Watch, if you're going to watch this movie, watch the first half hour and then turn it off.
Exactly.
Because that's the best part. Total nudity of Nadine Velasquez, who's gorgeous. She, of course, is from My Name is Earl.
You know, I'm okay without the first 5 minutes because that was a little random. But, you know, the plane part in the beginning is kind of fun.
The plane part's cool. It's like nudity and like plane crash and then alcoholism for 2 hours.
Yeah. And my husband, he just got his pilot's license.
Okay.
So this was one that he really wanted to see.
Did he drink and then go flying?
No. No, he doesn't do that.
He got completely blasted.
But he really wanted to see this. I was like, yeah, well, here's the disc. And you can play it while I'm gone. And after the first half hour is over, just take it out. Because there is no way I will subject you to the last, like, 4 days of just alcoholism and drug addiction.
What's funny is we got screeners of this.
Yes, we did.
In award season. So I pulled out my screener and I was telling, because we were watching The League, and Nadine Velasquez is in on that as well. I said, oh, she's totally naked. Because she has a scene where you see her caboosey.
For like in, 5 minutes.
Well, no, but in The League, you see her caboose. Okay. And I said, oh, you see all of her. And she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, no, let me show you. She's like, no, it's okay. I go, no, let me pull it. I put it
nice.
In. She's like, you just wanted to watch that scene again, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you did.
I did.
I know you.
I'm a pervert. Anyways, you're listening to Perverted Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dyer-Kramer. I'm the only pervert here.
It's true.
And she gets in the magical studio in the sky with me every week. She's not terrified of me. Because she has like
anti-anxiety pills,
you have
actually.
Mad ninja skills.
It's true.
You'll punch me in the throat. The stinker this week is Alex Cross.
The stinker this week could be just about anything.
Well, it could be. It could
really.
Be Flight as well.
Yes.
The only reason
it could also be Here Comes the Boom, in my opinion. But
the only reason Flight didn't get the stinker of the week is because it actually got an Academy Award nomination.
It's true.
You have to at least give it that.
Yes, but so did Norbit.
Well, that was for makeup.
I know, but still.
Yeah, true.
Just saying.
Alex Cross got Academy Award nominations.
No.
I think Alex Cross would have been better if he played the role as Medea.
I agree. Yeah. Or, you know, there is the grandmother in there. Now, if you had taken Tyler Perry and put him as the grandmother, then it would have made sense.
If his grandmother was Medea, that would have been,
yeah.
That would have been entertaining.
I would have taken that.
Was that like Cicely Tyson?
Yes.
Living grandmother?
Mm-hmm.
So that's terrible. Before we finish
that's
up
terrible.
This week.
Moving on.
I said, let's move on. I don't want to talk about Alex Cross anymore.
No.
Let's talk one more thing on the Star Wars. I hate to harp on Star Wars, but I'm a Star Wars fan.
Hey, well, you know, might as well close out the show with it.
For the Fat Guy sound off this week, which character from the Star Wars universe would you like to see get his or her or its own Star Wars spin-off movie?
I am going to say Jabba the Hutt.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm.
I haven't heard that thrown out yet.
Yeah, there you go.
I think it needs
to be directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, my God. They wouldn't live on Tatooine. They'd be on some crazy forest. That would be so cool. I would watch that.
There you
I
go.
I think that's an interesting
I think,
way to
I thought
go.
You'd appreciate that one.
The biggest challenge with that is they'd have to speak Huttese through the whole movie, and it'd all be subtitled.
Well, you know.
Yeah, maybe it could be a Ward film. And they could have, like, Denzel Washington and Nadine Velasquez show up naked through, like, the first 5 minutes.
Well, there you go.
And never show them again.
You can get an award for that. Why not? It worked this year. You can get an Oscar nomination.
You know who I want to see?
Who is that?
I want to see the bartender from the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Nice. Yes.
And then you could then also get a CGI Bea Arthur from the Star Wars Holiday Special, because she's dead. If you didn't know that.
Yes.
And you could have her. And then you could also add in a CGI Harvey Korman and a CGI Art Carney, who are both dead, I believe. And you could just have, because they do that in Star Wars, because they're from the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Why not?
But all seriousness, I mean, all joking aside, because they would sing. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I can see that. Yeah.
Have you seen the Star Wars Holiday Special?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
I have heard.
I am bringing that over. I've got a DVD of it.
Thank you, because I would
like
to see it.
We are going to bring it over. I will make you Superman cocktails, and we will get drunk and watch it in your giant home theater.
I am in.
This is totally happening. No, serious. This is totally happening.
No, I'm in.
But all joking aside, I think doing a spinoff with the crazy creatures from the cantina would be really neat.
I can see that, yeah.
Like maybe like a anthology type movie with see what each one did.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be cool.
I can see that, yeah.
Anyways, that's about it. We're done for this week. We were talking about Identity Theft, which you gave a total sucks. I gave a kind of sucks. Side Effects got a complete sucks from both of us because we didn't see it. Box office prediction, I said 20 and you said
18
for Identity Thief.
Yep.
Next week, Good Day to Die Hard, Safe Haven, Beautiful Creatures, and Escape from Planet Earth. Till then, talk to you later.
See ya.